This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is the Lord our God. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Well, the Lord be with you and also with you. Well, good morning, afternoon, evening, whenever you might be listening in and joining us in church, may this time with God be an encouragement to you, mindful that we share it with brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's just take a moment and be mindful of each other, our brothers and sisters in Christ. You might like to remind yourself of being with them in church. Imagine looking around. Who do you see? Take a moment and thank God for them. Now close your eyes and look around and imagine everyone else as I pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, this time with you and your people is special. Take our anxious thoughts and let us know your peace, your presence, and your power. May we listen to your word with expectation, engage in what we pray and say, and worship you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, welcome to church. Today helping me in the service are Karen and Diane. Karen will read the Bible readings for us and Diane will lead us in prayer. We conclude our Bible teaching time through the Old Testament books of Ezra and Haggai, thinking about what it means to have a new beginning with God, learning from God and his people in the past. Our mission focus for September is on the ministry of the Thomas family with InterServe. And we'll also be thinking of those who minister as chaplains to the police. Let's be still. Let's think on God and come before him in worship. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the Bible tells us not to hide our sins from God, our Heavenly Father, but to confess them with a repentant and obedient heart, so that we may be forgiven through his boundless goodness and mercy. Scripture reminds us that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1 verse 8 and 9. From Isaiah 55, verses 6 to 7, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and let the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Acts 17, verses 30 to 31, the times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Hebrews 4, 14 to 16. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us pray. Together. Merciful Father, we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the schemes and desires of our own hearts and have broken your holy laws. We have left undone what we ought to have done, and we have done what we ought not to have done. Yet, good Lord, have mercy on us. Restore those who are repentant, according to the promises declared to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant, merciful Father, for his sake, that from now on we may live godly and obedient lives to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God and loving Father, we rejoice that you pardon and forgive those who truly repent and sincerely believe your holy gospel. Grant us true repentance and your Holy Spirit that we may live godly, righteous, and holy lives, and finally come to your eternal glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's now hear from God in his word, the Bible. Thanks, Karen.
Good morning. Please join with me in prayer as we come to our Bible readings. Thank you, Father, for making yourself known to us and showing us the way of salvation through faith in your Son. Teach us through your word and equip us for every good work for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our first reading today comes from the book of Ezra, chapter 6, verses 13 to 22. Then, because of the decree King Darius had sent, Tattenai, governor of Trans-Euphrates, and Shethar Bozenai and their associates carried it out with diligence. So the elders of the Jews continued to build and prosper under the preaching of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah, a descendant of Iddo. They finished building the temple according to the command of the God of Israel and the decrees of Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes, kings of Persia. The temple was completed on the third day of the month Adar, in the sixth year of the reign of King Darius. Then the people of Israel, the priests, the Levites, and the rest of the exiles celebrated the dedication of the house of God with joy. For the dedication of this house of God, they offered 100 bulls, 200 rams, 400 male lambs, and, as a sin offering for all Israel, 12 male goats, one for each of the tribes of Israel. And they installed the priests in their divisions and the Levites in their groups for the service of God at Jerusalem, according to what is written in the book of Moses. On the 14th day of the first month, the exiles celebrated the Passover. The priests and Levites had purified themselves and were all ceremonially clean. The Levites slaughtered the Passover lamb for all the exiles, for their relatives, the priests, and for themselves. So the Israelites who had returned from the exile ate it, together with all who had separated themselves from the unclean practices of their Gentile neighbours in order to seek the Lord, the God of Israel. For 7 days they celebrated with joy the festival of unleavened bread, because the Lord had filled them with joy by changing the attitude of the king of Assyria so that he assisted them in the work of the house of the God of Israel. The second reading comes from the book of Haggai, chapter 2, verses 20 to 23. The word of the Lord came to Haggai a second time on the 24th day of the month. Tell Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, that I am going to shake the heavens and the earth. I will overturn royal thrones and shatter the power of the foreign kingdoms. I will overthrow chariots and their drivers. Horses and their riders will fall, each by the sword of his brother. On that day, declares the Lord Almighty, I will take you, my servant Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord, and I will make you like my signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord Almighty. Our third reading this morning comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 25 to 29. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, thanks, Karen. Would you open up your Bibles now to the Ezra reading and to Haggai, and put a finger there in Hebrews reading as well. We'll come to that at the end. As we mentioned, this is the last of our little sermon series through the books of Ezra and Haggai, titled A New Beginning with God. We've been learning of the story of God's people through the Old Testament books, and particularly learning of the character of our God and from the example of his people in relationship with him. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, the Bible. We thank you that you speak to us through it, that you make yourself known to us. We don't need to come up with ideas about who you are, nor should we, but you speak to us through your word. In the past, you spoke in many and various ways, but in these last days, you've spoken to us once and for all through your Son, Jesus. Gracious Heavenly Father, please help me to teach your word correctly. May we experience your Spirit guiding us into truth, applying it to our lives, and glad that we live in relationship with you. And we ask this in his name. Amen. Well, what have you been up to during lockdown? I know. Not as much as before. There's lots of things we're missing doing and people we miss seeing. I know Rosemary and I miss seeing our grandchildren and our children and our parents as well too, especially on this day of Father's Day, and happy Father's Day to all fathers and grandfathers this day. But I do hope you've been able to go for some walks outside, get some fresh air, stretch those legs, enjoy the outdoors within the safe limits, of course, that we've been given. It's a really healthy thing, and for our mental health. And God would want us to enjoy and appreciate his creation. So get out and go for walks. You might need to wait for the rain to finish. These are God-given opportunities to do things like this, when at other times we may have found ourselves too busy to do so, or just thought it's just not as important to make the time to do it. So let's get out and about. For me, during lockdown, I've spent a large portion of my time, my relaxed time, in our garden and going for walks with Rosemary on Fridays and the weekend. And it's been wonderful, refreshing these past few weeks in the warmth of the morning sun and appreciating the visual beauty and smells of spring. Now that reminds me of a story of a bank robber in prison, in lockdown of more permanent sort, you could say. His dad phoned him up and asked him how he was going. And in the course of the conversation, the father told his son his plan for the family backyard. "I know I'm old and it will be a struggle, son, without you here. But it's always been a dream of mine to grow my own veggies. So late winter, before spring, in a couple of weeks' time, I'm going to start digging." The son replied, "Dad, don't bother digging up the backyard. Wait till I get out. That was where I buried the money." A week went by and the father rang again. "Son, the police came and dug up about the backyard yesterday and they found nothing." The son replied, "Dad, it was the only way I could help you. You can now plant your spuds." The son's message was for one person really, for his dad. But the son knew it would have a wider audience and effect. That's a bit like our sermon series through the books of Ezra and Haggai. And in fact, what it's like whenever we open up our Bibles to read or to study. It's a message from God for maybe just one person or one group of people in time, but just not them, just for them. God has always had a wider audience in mind, his family. You, me, us, the church, and an effect. We're allowed to listen in when we open the Bible, to benefit from it as well, to learn of God and the example of his people and apply it to our lives. We've now come to the end of the book of Haggai, and with that we come to the end of our sermon series, A New Beginning with God. But let me just recap where we're up to with this so far. The year was around 537 BC. 50 years earlier, in 587 BC, Jerusalem had been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and his army. And God's people had been taken away to Babylon. Then under a new king, Cyrus, they were allowed to return to the land they once lived in, to Jerusalem, and rebuild the temple. Around 50,000 people took up the offer and returned willing to make a go of it, the go of this new beginning with God, to be his holy people, as God would desire for them to be. And with new beginnings came fresh responsibilities, a chance to renew their commitment to live life with right priorities, God's priorities. Over the last 7 weeks, we've been learning from the example of these people of God what those priorities are. They were people from the beginning keen to be faithful to God, despite disappointments, despite threats, and any opposition that may have come their way. And like all of us, at times, they stumbled and they fell. But forgiveness can be found with God. A new beginning can be found with God each day. Great is his faithfulness, as his courage to go on in obedience. And when one has, to celebrate faithfulness. We've followed this story, and as we've thought on this story, my hope and prayer has been that we too have been encouraged, challenged, and empowered to renew our commitment to live life with right priorities, God's priorities, despite what circumstances we might find ourselves in. The first priority of God's people when they got back to Jerusalem for a new beginning with him was to build an altar where the temple would stand. It was to renew their relationship with God through sacrifice and forgiveness. Through sacrifice, forgiveness is found. We find that forgiveness not in the sacrifice of animals or things, but in the wonderful sacrifice once and for all of Christ at the cross. The second thing was to rebuild the temple, to start work on it, begin with its foundations. But then what some saw unfolding in the foundations wasn't as big as the first temple. And we learnt disappointment can come along the way, but it's no reason for giving up. God always has a better plan than our first impressions. And God's better plan was the preparing of the temple for the coming of Christ. We now are the temple of Christ, the temple of God, the church. We know that Christ has come, and this temple is being built and prepared for his coming again. Are we ready? We also learned that with faithfulness comes opposition. There were others living in and sharing nearby with God's people back in Jerusalem, and they opposed the building of the temple. Some even undermined the work that they were doing. Though some, in sincerity, were concerned that by what they were doing, it was with authority. God's people became discouraged. Opposition became the excuse to do their own thing, justify their own priorities above and before that of those of God. They stopped work on the temple and concentrated on the building of their own houses. We shouldn't be surprised if we too face opposition for living life according to God's priorities. Jesus has told us that in this world we will have trouble. But take heart, he's overcome the world. Opposition, though, is no license to justify letting go of God's priorities and replace them with our own. What wisdom is there in thinking that we know what's better for ourselves than God? Well, unsatisfying situations, the result of our own doing, are in a result, and they're proof of our foolishness of going our own way, as they were for God's people. And we read this. For 15 years, work on the temple stopped and there was no word from God, until finally, into this context, God raised up his prophet Haggai to speak to his people. Haggai challenged the people to consider their ways, to keep working on the temple, even if the building seemed small and unimpressive and people were opposed to it. Consider how God had blessed them. He had even moved in the mind and heart of a secular king, Cyrus, and later Darius, to prosper their work. Come on, get on with being God's people. God always uses his word to resurrect obedience, and it did among them. God prospered his work despite opposition. Repentance brought God's blessing, and with blessing came thankfulness. But in times of blessing, in times when life is good and easy, we learned there comes the temptation to take it for granted and forget God and his priorities. Knowing what we're like, God spoke through Haggai to encourage God's people to find hope, not in the present, but in the future, in God's unfolding purpose for his people in the coming of Christ. Finally, after 4 years, we heard this morning the temple is completed. Hooray! And the people and the temple are dedicated to God, and the people celebrate God's faithfulness and worship him. It's a significant thing that the Passover was celebrated. Their return to Jerusalem had been for them like the Exodus from Egypt. Celebrating the Passover was an act of thankful worship and grateful remembrance for being the people of God, whom he had rescued and saved and brought safely home. Here in chapter 6, a new beginning with God was completed. Well, you would think that would be the end of the story. But those of you who've already read Ezra and know the book, you know that there's a further 4 more chapters in the book. And you'd also know that the history of God's people from here is recorded further in the book of Nehemiah. And that God has more to say to his people through his prophet Zechariah and Malachi. But God had one final message through his prophet Haggai. And this message, this time, was for Zerubbabel. Haggai chapter 2, verses 20 to 23. God's appointed governor of his people, in charge of the city of Jerusalem and its region. It was a message of hope for his people, not to be found in the present blessing of the temple now completed, but in the future plans of God. Though it was a message just for one person, it was not a message just for him. God had a wider audience in view, God's people then and after, you and me. What was God's message to Zerubbabel? Look with me there in Haggai chapter 2. Well, the message breaks itself into 2 parts. He talks about shaking and the other about a signet ring. Well, let's look at them in turn, the shaking. Look there at verses 21 and 22. Tell Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, that I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth. I will overturn royal thrones and shatter the power of the foreign kingdoms. I will overthrow chariots and their drivers, horses and their riders will fall, each by the sword of his brother. What God is doing at the end of his message through Haggai was to take Zerubbabel out of his present celebrations and look for a greater celebration, a greater hope into the future, to see the future. God says, one day, Zerubbabel, I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth like never before. Does God mean he's going to bring about a massive earthquake? No, no, not an earthquake, but rather a magnificent, wonderful event in history. The experience of the rule and authority of the one who really rules the world and the universe. God's people will experience one day all powers and authorities will be overthrown by God, royal thrones, as well as the power of foreign kingdoms. God will be seen to rule, and he will do it. In fact, God has always ruled over the nations, and he will always be in control over all powers and all authorities, even though we may not see it or feel it. But one day in God's big plan, all powers, all authorities won't be able to stand before God. Like a house of cards in the wind, they will fall and be no more, and only one kingdom will remain standing, and that is God's kingdom. And this is good news for Zerubbabel and the people of Jerusalem. They're fed up with kingdoms coming and going, conquering and then being conquered, and them being the meat in the sandwich. They've seen enough of chariots and riders coming into the land God had given them. They long for the kingdom of God, his will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And we do too. So no matter how powerful King Darius, or any king for that matter that would follow you, Zerubbabel, no matter what the chariots come to do, they are not all-powerful in the long run. God is over all. And one day, Zerubbabel, you all will see and know it. Well, the question we want to ask is, of course, the million-dollar question, when? When will this happen? Zerubbabel is not told. But as sure as he lives, he can trust God at his word that it will happen. For God will do it with all his authority through the one through whom he rules and will rule. This is where we now turn to the signet ring. Look there at verse 23. The final verse of Haggai. On that day, declares the Lord Almighty, I will take you, my servant Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord, and I will make you like my signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord Almighty. Jeffrey McElhattan was a friend of mine when I was seven. He had this really cool ring he wore when we played superheroes together. You were dead if he zapped you with his ring. It was big, it was chunky, and it had this lid that when you flipped it back open, it revealed a cavity where he kept safe his special power stone. Me, I just had a compass in my shoe. A signet ring on a king was the mark of the king's authority. So if the king was sending out a letter, he would get a bit of hot wax, melt it onto the letter, and then imprint in it his sign, his signet ring, to show it came from him, but it came with all his authority and power of the king. On that day of shaking, God's saying through Haggai, when the nations and the kingdoms will be overthrown, Zerubbabel will be like a signet ring, the one through whom God's overruling power and authority will be over the world. What does God mean? What's Haggai saying? Is that day imminent for Zerubbabel? Is Zerubbabel going to be God's agent of overruling power and authority in the world? No. Being like a signet ring isn't the same as being the signet ring. Then who is? What does God mean by, I will take you, my servant Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and I will make you like my signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord Almighty. Come with me. Hang in there. You know where I'm going. You know what's coming. But hear and see how we get there. Zerubbabel is the son of Shealtiel. And those names might not mean much to us. But if we turn now to the front chapter, the very first chapter of Matthew's Gospel, the opening chapter, it helps us to see the bigger picture. Zerubbabel was the son of Shealtiel. Shealtiel was the son of Jeconiah, who was the great, by 12, grandson of King David. See where we're going? And that means that despite the ways of the kings from David to Zerubbabel messing up, leading to exile in the first place, God had not forgotten that he is to fulfill his promise to David that one of his sons would rule his people. And that's you, Zerubbabel, for this moment in time. Take heart and lead well. And that was all for him to know. But God had not yet finished with his promise. We stand some 2,500 years later, and though his message was for one person, God had a wider audience in mind. He was still mindful of his promise to Abraham at the time God spoke this through Haggai to Zerubbabel. His promise not only to Abraham, but to David and their descendants. He was still working to bring the long-awaited Christ, God's perfect king, from this family line. Matthew chapter 1 connects the dots. The genealogy at the beginning of his gospel, from Abraham to David to Zerubbabel, brings us to Jesus, who is called Christ, the Messiah, God's perfect king. All-powerful king. Look there at verse 12. Zerubbabel was to be like a signet ring, but Jesus is God's signet ring. God's agent of all power and all authority over the world, over the universe, over all people, including us. One day, God has this future promise through Haggai to fulfill. A day of shaking, a day of judgment, a day to be warned, and a day to be ready. But for us, his people, for whom Christ has saved and died for, in him, inside in the signet ring, in Christ, it is a day of reassurance. A day of safety for his people. A day of great power to be part of God's people on that day. We read of Hebrews 12, 27 to 29 there. Once more I will shake not only the heavens and the earth. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God, acceptable and reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Let me pray. Oh, teach us, O gracious Lord, to begin our works with reverence, to go on each day in obedience and finish them with love, and then waiting patiently in hope and with cheerful countenance to look up to you, whose promises are faithful and rewards infinite, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Commands all the hosts of heaven. Who else?
Our God is a holy God, and it's good and right to celebrate him and all that he's done and will do for his people. We do that whenever we profess our faith in him together. So join with me in saying what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. Please stand. Together, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Diane's going to come now and lead us in a time of prayer. Thanks, Diane.
Good morning to everyone. It's nice to be sharing the service with you today. The Lord be with you
and also with you.
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray that we may realize the freedom God has given us in making us his sons and daughters. God our Father, you redeem us and make us your children in Christ. Look on us, give us true freedom, and bring us to the inheritance you promised. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Sovereign Lord, you know all things, and through all circumstances of life you accompany your people. Prosper the work of those providing a vaccine for the coronavirus and its distribution. Protect and strengthen those who are treating the sick. Comfort the sick and those who mourn the loss of loved ones or are living in fear of this disease. Give to the governing authorities wisdom in their management of this crisis, and grant to your people patience, compliance and peace, generous and wise hearts, and a renewed trust in your sovereign goodness and glory. Turn the hearts of many experiencing fear and anxiety to you, that they may find that peace which only you can give. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Almighty God and merciful Father, we give you humble and heartfelt thanks for all your goodness and loving kindness to us and to all people. We bless you for our creation and preservation and all the blessings of this life, but above all for your immeasurable love in the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. And we pray, give us such a sense of all your mercies that our hearts may be truly thankful, and that we may praise you not only with our lips but in our lives, serving you in holiness and righteousness all our days, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom you and the Holy Spirit be honour and glory, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
We thank you, God, that you have called people to take your word to people both near and far. We ask especially today for your blessings on the Thomas family in Thailand. We thank you that COVID case numbers are starting to ease in Thailand and neighbouring Myanmar, and that you will continue to provide wisdom to the government and leaders there in managing the economic and health sectors. We also pray for the partner families that Shine and Jessica are working alongside, and ask that those partner families trying to enter Myanmar this month are able to achieve this smoothly and easily. We also thank you for the safety provided to the partner who fell through a roof last month that they have only fractured a vertebra. We pray for a speedy and trouble-free recovery for him. We pray for Shine, that you would open a door for him to be able to visit his family in India soon, that Oswin and Tamim will be able to return to normal schooling soon rather than by Zoom, and that the family's new visas will be supplied this week without any difficulty. We ask for you to provide Jessica with your wisdom and guidance in her new translation project on 1 Samuel. In all things, we pray that they will remain steadfast in their reliance on you to provide what they need, and that they feel your Holy Spirit around them in all that they do. Continue to bless them and keep them safe, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you for those who serve us in the defence and police forces, the fire brigades and ambulance services, especially in the role they play in managing COVID-19 issues and compliance during lockdowns. Give them courage and protection when they face loneliness, misunderstanding and danger. Help us to be grateful for what they do and to support them with respect and honour. We pray today for the work of Defence Force chaplains who offer support to those in the Defence Force, a job made even harder as they risk exposure to the more immediate danger of COVID-19 in the roles they have been asked to do. We pray that where support has to be virtual rather than face-to-face, that technology doesn't let them down, and there is still great comfort in the contact being made. We pray for wisdom and the Holy Spirit's leading in the interactions, so that the benefits are great and the comfort is enduring. Almighty God, ruler of all, in whose kingdom peace and righteousness abound, we pray for all those in conflict and danger, especially in Afghanistan, Haiti, New Orleans, Ethiopia, Turkey and all other troubled areas where the man showing aggression or nature releasing intense weather conditions. Take away prejudice, cruelty and revenge. Grant that barriers which divide may crumble, suspicions disappear and hatreds cease. Bring hearts seeking peaceful, compassionate and generous treatment and solutions to the issues being faced. Let those in power work together with mutual forbearance and respect towards peace and a desire for the common good in seeking restoration and safety. God, our refuge and strength, you have bound us together in a common life. Help us in the midst of our present trouble to confront one another without hatred, bitterness, contempt, or division. Help us to work together in unity with mutual respect in dealing with the frustrations, fear and hardship brought about by extended lockdowns, disease and conflicting communications. We ask for governments to work cooperatively for the good of all Australia and all its people. We ask for safety in our homes and protection from reactive behaviours. We ask for compliance and selflessness by all people in doing what is good for all. Help us practice patience at this time to seek your peace and grace in all our dealings with each other through what is becoming a very difficult experience. Help us live lives that reflect your glory to others. Draw us closer to you and your word, and encourage us to reach out to others with the love you have shown us. Shower us with your peace as we hear the daily figures and statistics around COVID and all the suffering created by disasters around the world. May your Holy Spirit be ever present in our consciousness to remind us that we are safe in you, and to hand over all our worries, concerns and fears to you, our loving Father and Almighty Lord. We pray, dear Lord, for continued safety and good health for our congregation. We also bring all those who seek healing and comfort in their distress or ill health before you. Continue to hold up Jean, Kay, Max and Lynn, and we ask that you will stay close to them and their families. May your Spirit encourage us all to talk to someone this week, to keep us connected, and we pray for that time when we can again meet together in person at church. Until that time, in our human frailty, we look to you as frightened children look to their parents, for you alone can comfort through the darkest valley and sustain us. Have mercy on us, O God. Hear our cries to you, our loving Father, and lead us all as pilgrims through the darkest valley into the light of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Be exalted, Lord, above the heavens. Let your glory cover the earth. Keep our nation under your care.
And guide us in justice and truth.
Let your way be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Send out your light and truth, that we may tell of your saving works. Hear our prayers, O Lord, for we put our trust in you. Amen.
Thank you, Diane. Well, friends, just a few little announcements to make. It's Sunday night. If you're listening into this on Sunday tonight, join us again for catch-up time on Zoom from 5 to 6pm. It's a great time to catch up with others in church via Zoom. The link there has been forwarded to you via Janice, via an email by Janice on Friday. If you've not got it and you'd like to link in and see others, just give me a call and I'll send you the link through. On Monday night, the 6th of September, we have our next parish prayer meeting between 7 and 8pm. Unfortunately, again, we can't meet together face-to-face, but again, this will be by Zoom. The link has been sent to you in an email on Friday from Janice. As I said, today is the last of our little sermon series through Haggai and Ezra. I hope you've enjoyed it. Please tell me, let me know if you have. I've learnt much of God from his word and from his people, their example as well. But in the coming next 4 weeks over lockdown, homeschooling holiday time, I'm just doing 4 little sermons on questions we may not think to ask God. And next Sunday, the sermon is, Does God Laugh? And the next one after that is, Does God Ever Get Sad? And then the third one after that is, does God go to sleep? And the fourth one, well, I'm leaving that up to you to tell me what you'd like, what question you may think you've never thought to ask of God, all right? And I'll choose the best one out of the whole lot. So send me a phone call, send me a text, send me an email of what you think that might be. Well, thank you for joining me and others in church today. For those who are listening in who may not know who I am, my name is the Reverend Trevor Young. I'm the Senior Minister here at Abbotsford Anglican Church. Why not join with us next week and when we return to meet face to face? But thank you for listening in with us. We trust that God blessed you. Well, let me close with prayer, and would you join with me in saying the grace? Our Lord Jesus Christ, send us now out with confidence in your word to tell the world of your saving acts and bring glory to your name. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.